With me on Fresh Air for a live concert are Barbara Kay and Pat McDonald, the husband and wife team duo that make up the band Timbuk 3. They had a hit with their song The Future So Bright I Gotta Wear Shades, one of the tracks on their first album. Their new album, Eden Alley, is on IRS Records. Rock critic Ed Ward wrote, "It's obvious from listening to this record that Timbuk 3 is in it for the long haul, that the idea is not to top the last hit with something that sounds a lot like it, but to just keep on writing and playing and singing good songs. Most of the songs are written by Pat. Barbara also does some of the writing. Now, it's going to sound as if there's a lot more than two performers playing. That's because Timbuk 3 travels with a cassette tape of their rhythm tracks so that they can keep the band streamlined and low-tech without sacrificing the sound that they want. But the guitars, the harmonica, the vocals, that's all live. I want to welcome you both to Fresh Air. Would one of you introduce the first song you're going to do for us?
Yeah, here's one called Reverend Jack and His Roman Cadillac Church. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
That really sounds terrific. And performing, whoops, you can tell by the feedback that we are live. Performing for us is Timbuk 3, and that's Pat McDonald and Barbara Kay. And, you know, before we talk about how you met and started playing together and the kinds of songs that you write, I just want to talk a little bit about the kind of setup that you have, because our listeners can't see it or anything, but next to you, Pat, is a boom box and a big mixing, well, patch board. And I like this idea that you've been working on for several years of having your rhythm track on tape and playing that in a boombox. How did you first start doing that?
Well, we started in Madison, Wisconsin, which is where we lived for many years. And we had a band that broke up, and we decided to try to make as much music as we could with just the two of us, have it portable so we could travel around and play anywhere. So we had the idea of putting bass, guitar, and drums through a drum machine onto cassettes and putting them on our boombox, and that way we could play on the street or we could play in clubs or in our anywhere we wanted to play, travel around and find a place to live where we could continue to make a living playing music.
Well, playing here is a good example of how well that can work, because if all of those instruments were here, they wouldn't fit acoustically in the room. So I can see how that would work.
Right now we have our crew is setting up us to play at a gig at the club tonight. And so we have another set of equipment that's a little less portable than this setup that we use in clubs too. So this is kind of like this is for the back of the bus, sort of.
It started as a financial thing in part, right? So that you could, you know, be portable and travel and not have a big band on salary. But if you could afford it, would you still use, or because you probably could afford now to have more band members. Has it become an aesthetic as much as a financial thing?
It's not so much of an economic necessity as maybe, you know, the initial inspiration behind it, although that wasn't totally it either. We were just, we felt real confident with each other, and we had a lot of faith and trust in each other, too, to play our music. And now we just have a lot of fun. That's basically why we keep doing it like we do. It's a creative challenge to come up with all the parts yourselves. We record, when we make our albums, we play all the instruments. And so this way we just recreate what we do in the studio live on stage.
Barbara, you're holding a violin now.
Right.
Can you do another song for us? One, I guess, in which the violin will figure.
Sure.
Yeah, I need phones back to where they were. Thank you.
This one is called Too Much Sex and Not Enough Affection.
Scene of the crime, body in the bed. One victim died, one victim fled. A slave to desire, rejection. Too much sex and not enough affection. Read it in the paper or watch it on TV. Cry for a stranger and turn your back on me. Try another line and still no connection. Too much sex and not enough affection. Go, but it ain't no way to live. That's one way to go, but it ain't no way to live. It's too much to take and not enough to give. Too much.
Thank you.
the crime, a body in the bed. One victim died, one victim fled. He never got caught, but he lost his re-election.
And that's Too Much Sex, Not Enough Affection, which is also on your new album, Eden Alley. My guests are Timbuk3. They're performing live for us. And, you know, your voices are such a perfect fit together. It sounds to me the harmonies. And I wonder how you started singing together, and when you started singing together, if you automatically hit on that right, that right harmonic balance between you.
Actually, we've gone through a lot of different phases with it. Because, there, I turned that microphone off.
I should explain.
When we started out.
It's the boombox and the microphones and headphones.
Yeah.
It's pretty tricky in here.
We're talking through one mic and singing through another.
Yeah.
And we worked on it a lot because at first we just sang together for the fun of it. And then a lot of times I sang harmony and Barbara would sing the melody. And lately Barbara's gotten more into doing both things, because I used to kind of come up with harmony parts and teach them to her, and now she comes up with her own parts, you know, and it's been like that for the last few years.
Now, you were both playing separately before you met, right? You were both performing separately?
Well, both of us have been playing guitar since, you know, we were kids,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't start playing professionally until I was, you know, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. But when I met Pat, it was about 10 and a half years, so I heard him in concert, and then I was inspired to practice more and get my act together. And then we were both playing solo in the clubs around Wisconsin, small bars, and then we each had a band for a while, and then I quit my band and joined his.
Barbara, did you play guitar before?
Before I met Pat?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing guitar since I was about 10 years old.
Did you have any flack from teachers or anything learning electric guitar when you were young?
No, I played acoustic guitar until I was about 20 years old, and then I started playing electric guitar.
You know, something I have to ask you both, you had that hit a couple of years ago of The Future So Bright I Gotta Wear Shades. Did your lives really change a lot after that? I think once you have a hit, the pressure's on, first of all, to have another one.
I think people have more expectations once something has been established, you know. It was kind of a surprise, and it was often misunderstood, the intent and the nature and the irony in the song.
Pat, you wrote the song. You want to explain how it was intended and how it was misunderstood?
Well, it seemed pretty clear to me. You know, it's just, there's a lot of songs that are more satirical, you know, a lot of, you know, double meanings and things, and people are pretty smart generally. They can figure out these things, and, you know, I try to put little pointers in the song to
mm-hmm.
say, hey, I'm only kidding, you know, or whatever, it's a little bit. But you hear something on the radio, and you hear it right next to a Pepsi commercial. And, of course, anything you hear on the radio, on certain types of radio stations, of course, you know, you're gonna expect something pretty shallow, you know, or you know, you might think, okay, what's this advertising? You know, what's this song an ad for? And I think therefore you tend to hear the, you know, the most surface interpretation of the song initially until you hear it a few times, and then, you know, then hopefully the thing kind of opens up.
Do you feel that you've been able, or that you've wanted to make any changes based on the success of that song, financial or otherwise?
How do you mean?
Well, with I don't know, with the money that you get from a hit song, you can
Oh yeah.
You can do things that you dreamed of before, but
we put it all back into our music. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we buy some of the equipment we need, you know, so that we can have consistent sound.
Yeah. And we also work with a lot more people now, so we have a more professional show instead of me and Pat showing up, you know, a couple hours before we play and setting everything up. We have people who help us on the road now.
Well, I'd love to hear some more of your music, but first we have to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Tim Buck III, Barbara Kay, and Pat McDonald, and they'll perform some more songs for us. They also have a new album out, by the way, called Eden Alley. It's on IRS Records. Are you touring nationally now also?
Right, yes, we are.
So maybe they'll be touring through your city as well. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds. This is Fresh Air. Barbara Kay and Pat McDonald, my guests, the members of Tim Buck III, and can I ask you to play another song?
Yes.
Which one do you want to do?
You know what I have to do real quickly here? I have to tune my guitar.
Okay. Well, you
guys can talk about the song a little bit while I tune my guitar.
You're going to do Little People?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to play that one, Pat?
Sure.
Yeah, Little People Make Big Mistakes is the name of the song.
And I should mention that this is going to be one without the boombox, so everything you're hearing performed on this particular song is happening live. Performed in the studio. Pat, this is a song that you wrote?
Yes.
Actually, right.
I can't hear this guitar.
Okay, we need more on the headphones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Check out. Mm. I'm sorry, we lost the guitar.
We lost the guitar. Mm-hmm. Do we know what to do about that? We got it again. Okay.
One, two, three.
Sometimes little people make big mistakes. Sometimes mountains crumble. Sometimes a heart breaks. We seek love endlessly. We trust our eyes to see. But sometimes little people make big mistakes. I never meant to hurt you, but what can I say? Things just happen that way. Oh, 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 oh.
We try to stand so tall.
Oh, oh, oh.
And still we feel so small.
Oh, oh, oh.
We find we're only little people after all.
And sometimes little people make big mistakes.
Trust
our eyes to see that sometimes little people make big mistakes. Sometimes little people make big mistakes.
A really good song and really well performed. Thank you both. Pat, when you're writing, did you want something with the...
No, we're done with the song.
Okay. When you're writing a song, does it tend to spring whole, the melody, or do you actually sit and work on it as it happens?
Well, a lot of times the guitar parts come first, but sometimes when I don't have a guitar... a lot of times I work on the words and melody at the same time. I'll just be singing the words and the melody, the words and the melody will come at the same time. When I've got a guitar, a lot of times the guitar part will come first, or maybe the drum machine part, and then I'll just kind of hum along with the guitar thing. And a lot of times, when it works like that, the melody will come first, and then the words will come later. But If I don't have a guitar, it seems usually the words and the melody come more like you're just sitting there singing to yourself, making up this little words and melody thing, which becomes a song.
Are there subjects you know you want to write a song about?
Yeah, a lot of times the ones I want to write a song about are the ones I don't usually end up able to write a song about. It's a lot of times the songs that just kind of jump out at you, things that you don't really expect to be writing about. A phrase will just somehow pass through your mind, and it just seems to have some kind of pull to it, and you follow that phrase, and it just takes you on this weird route, and it sometimes I don't have much control over what I might write about. Some things that are real important to me are really hard to write about, and then, you know, other times it may be years before a song comes of something that I've thought about, you know.
You both strike me as people who want to keep control over the music that you're doing and not hand it over to a record company or to a promoter or anything like that. Are there things you feel you have to be wary of in the rock world that you want to stay clear of while negotiating your own direction?
Well, you just, when you have a hit song or you have any kind of interest from the public or whatever, there's a lot of people who stand to profit from that, and they'll try to nudge you in a direction that might get you more attention more quickly, you know. And it's
if
all,
only like, you do right, if, something or another.
Yeah, and so it's you have to know what's right for yourself and what you feel comfortable with, what suits your personality, and not, you know, it can be real difficult to be always sort of at odds with really well-meaning people, you know, but you just really have to learn how to say, oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, that's silly, and, you know, that type of thing. And you know, it can be really small things, you know, it can be, you know, where you get a photo taken, or, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to appear to be publicity mongers, which we're not, and although there's a big publicity machine that you can get connected to. And
now, am I right in saying that you're going to open for a Bob Dylan tour?
We're going to be opening about 6 shows for him in the end of August and early September up in Canada in the northeast.
Can you tell me briefly how you feel about opening for him? If you see that as a good opportunity, or
well, I don't know if how I'm going to feel walking out on the stage with this harmonica rack around.
Yeah, right.
That's about the only thing that that's about the only reservation I have.
Well, what, you think he's going to say something?
Not him. No, it's just my own thing. It's totally.
Is he the one who inspired you to play
harmonica on a rack like this years and years ago, and I'm sure it was, of course, inspired by him originally, and then you know, other people have done it, but of course he's the one who's the most famous for it. And Neil Young plays on a rack too, and John Hammond Jr., and you know, a lot of people who are good, you know, but it's just a way to get the job done. You play a guitar and harmonica at the same time. It's the way you can do it. And although it's funny, though, it's a very Dylan-esque image. So
let's see if I could give you another chance to play guitar and harmonica together at the same time. Maybe you could play one more song for us.
Sure.
Would you like to sample the dog? We could do that.
Or I thought you were going to do Left Arm 3?
Okay, is that the one you're going to fade out on?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, and this is Timbuk 3, and they do have a new album as well called Eden Alley. And what's happening here is that they have a boombox in which they have their rhythm track recorded, so they're just queuing that up right now. The guitars are live, the harmonica is live, the voices are live. Indeed, the concert is live, but we got the rhythm track on tape, And as soon as that's set, we're ready to go. Concert. I want to thank you both so much for performing for us. And performing live for us has been Timbuk3. That's Barbara Kay and Pat McDonald. And they have a new album if you'd like to hear them on record as well. It's called Eden Alley. It's on the IRS record label. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.